This is continuing coverage in the trial of Alex Murdaugh from True Crime Today.
Welcome back to our continuing coverage in the trial of Alex Murdaugh, segment number 3 from the courtroom on day 17 of the trial. Let's head there now.
You may bring the jury.
Kids, I just have a few more questions on direct examination. Did you see any evidence or anything that would reflect a struggle between Paul and the shooter?
I did not.
And can you explain that to the jury, please?
Typically, if when you observe defensive wounds, what's called defensive wounds, you would see signs of a struggle. I saw none on Miss Maggie Murdaugh or Paul Murdaugh in any of the autopsy or crime scene photos.
Thank you. Please answer any questions the defense may have.
Please, Your Honor.
So do I call you doctor or deputy or chief or what?
I haven't been a deputy in about 25 years, Mr. Harpulian, but I'll answer to whatever you call me, sir.
You may regret that. So, when did you start in law enforcement?
Around 93.
Okay. And you were in Orangeburg?
Yes, sir.
You know, back then, I was a solicitor in the Fifth Circuit. I was the prosecutor there. Do you remember that?
I've testified for you a couple times, Mr. Harpulian.
I thought you looked familiar. So you actually were my witness a couple times.
Yes, sir.
Okay. And I don't know if we're going to have much dispute today, but I'm going to try to understand a couple things, if that's okay with you.
Absolutely.
So let's understand the wound to Paul, the two wounds to Paul. And as I understand it, you were saying that he was standing how far back when he got shot, for his bloody footprints to be there, those footprints had to be made after he had the shot in the chest, correct?
That is correct, yes, sir.
And so how far back in the room were those footprints?
The footprints are approximately, because I have no way, once everything was pressure washed and cleaned out, but looking at the actual crime scene photographs and then taking my own measurements, the placard, the yellow placard that's in the photographs, is approximately at 5 foot. And he was on the other side of, so he was occupying that 6 foot area.
And there were no scales in any of those pictures, were there?
There were not, no, but, sir.
Let me just talk about this generally before we get to that. You teach a course on crime scene processing?
Yes, sir.
You teach a course on how one should photograph a crime scene.
Yes, I do.
And I'm going to try to oversimplify this. There are basically two or three things that you want on any crime scene photo. The first is a scale, correct?
Well, there's three types of photos. One of those includes a scale. Yes, sir.
Okay. I mean, obviously you don't have a scale if it's a long shot out, like from outside the feed room in. But for something like bloody footprints, you would want a scale.
I would, yes, sir.
And you'd want multiple lighting sources so that it's well lit.
Well, if you operate the camera correctly, you have your light source.
Okay.
And that's why you do it from 90 degrees over, perpendicular to the footprint, because you can hit all the angles and then choose the best exposure that takes those shadows out.
So if you do 90, do you recommend taking more than one shot?
Yes, sir, typically.
I mean, at different perspectives of the same item?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so you recommend multiple shots, including one, gotta have one 90 degree.
If right? you're, if for comparison evidence, you do, yes,
right.
sir.
And in the sense of the shoes, the shoe prints you think you saw, they were definitely Paul's shoes. You did that comparison.
Just like with the tire tread, they right. share class characteristics with Paul's shoes.
And were
yes,
those
sir.
Shoes facing towards the front or the back of the feet?
When they were made, it appears they were facing toward, they were going toward the door.
Right.
But it would be hard for me to tell you without some kind of mark on that pavement to be able to orient them.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear that.
Say without
that
a mark on the pavement or some type of landmark, it right. would be hard for me to orient them from the photograph.
Okay. And again, if you'd had a scale or multiple pictures of that one shot, I mean, of straight down and multiple pictures, you could have done a little bit more in terms of that, could you not?
An examiner possibly could have, yes, sir.
Okay. And the trail of blood leads towards the front door, right?
It does.
And how long was that trail?
Well, if he was in the 6 foot and you got three past, you know, four past him, at least 5 foot from where he starts dripping blood, then he steps in it, and then he makes his way to the door.
So you think he was a foot, foot and a half inside the door when he got shot with a second shot?
Well, his feet were inside the door, but his shoulder and his head was slightly outside the door.
Leaning forward?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so it, how, okay, the first shot, as I understand it, hit his shoulder.
The second shot is the one that hit the shoulder.
No, I'm talking about, let's talk about.
The fatal one.
The fatal one.
Yes, sir.
It hit his shoulder.
Yes, sir.
So based on, and you met with Dr. Reamer, the pathologist.
I did.
And she showed you her photos. Y'all talk about her photos?
I offered to go over the photos with Dr. Reamer, and she told me that she had limited crime scene experience and that I'd have to determine that she looked at the wounds and she makes her determinations, and that wasn't really her forte.
Okay, so... But she said, shot in the shoulder. I'm talking about the fatal shot.
The path, yes, sir.
Into the neck, not the top of the head.
That is correct.
Okay, so, and how, you said you had some difficulty in determining Paul's height.
Well, the DMV record, the printout showed 5'6", and the autopsy information showed 5'9", and I know a young man like that will hit a growth spurt. That's not my area, so.
But would you consider Dr. Reamer's measurement probably more accurate than what he told the DMV?
Or he could have grown since he registered
sure.
with the DMV. Yes, yes, sir.
So why wouldn't we just use 5'9"?
So,
I mean, is that fair?
Well, but then he's got damage to the top of his head, so I ask myself, how could Dr. Reamer get it exactly right when the top portion of his head's gone? So I had to guesstimate, and I figured the best way to do it is split the two.
And the two were, so you had them at what height?
DMV showed 5'6" on the printout, and Dr. Reamer showed 5'9", so I figured somewhere around 5'7.5" to 5'8".
So 5'7.5".
And then you take the foot from there to the actual wound.
Right, I guess, so what, where the wound occurs, the initial in the, I guess it's his shoulder.
Yes, sir.
How high was that?
That was approximately 4'7".
4'7"?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So, just give me a second here. We're going to do a... I hadn't touched a protractor in 50 years. I've done it twice this week. So let's do, if you'd step down here for just a minute, please. Oh, you walk around with one?
Yes, sir.
Really sad. Really, really sad. So why don't you take this for me, and I'm going to hold it. I'll hold the bottom and put a dot on here at 4, wherever the shoulder, the height of the shoulder. Okay, I'm going to take it straight. Unhook it down there. Okay, and we're going to, okay. Let me just get it up here to 4. Let me do this. I think you can do this with one of these. 4 foot, 6. 4 foot. We're saying 4'7"?
Yes, sir.
Do you know how to lock it? There's none. Okay. So that's 4'7", right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, let's go straight up. Okay. And that would have been the height of the wound.
That's the height, approximate height of his shoulder, depending on how far he's dipping.
You think it's lower?
Could be, yes, sir. Like I said, when you've got a wound to that side, I would expect him to be favoring that shoulder.
Okay, so what's your opinion of how, I mean, you're the professional, I'm just holding it.
Well, looking at the defects on this side of the door,
yeah,
and it's several of them there, even though they've been pressure washed, if I run a string back in the area of 4-7, somewhere in the middle, gave me a 135 degree angle, that's give or take 5 or 6 degrees.
And that's what Dr. Reamer said in her report, 135 degrees.
I don't know if she said that in her report.
135 degrees.
Yes, sir.
All right, can you undo that? Thanks. Give me 2 seconds and I will find her.
But that's not absolute. Like I said, a lot of variables could change that a couple degrees one way or the other.
A couple degrees one way or the other. Okay, here we go. Was there any evidence of stippling, soot, powder burn, anything? Is soot the same thing as a powder burn?
Soot is a byproduct, yes, sir.
Okay. Around this
but shoulder. Soot can wipe off. The powder burn, the stippling doesn't easily wipe off. It's actually tattooed.
And that would indicate a pretty close shot.
Yes,
right?
Sir, it would.
And you would agree, Dr. Reamer said there was no evidence of any of that, any stippling, anything to indicate a close-in shot.
That is accurate.
And she testified, I don't know if you saw her, did you see her testimony?
A little bit of it.
Okay, so she testified that the muzzle of the gun, the weapon, the shotgun, would have had to have been at least 3 feet away, perhaps four, but at least 3 feet away. Is that consistent with your experience?
I don't know if that's consistent with my experience. I'm not trying to disagree with the pathologist, but I don't see how the angle would work out unless it was a pretty short shotgun. I don't see that angle working out 3 feet away. It maybe have been within 3 foot.
Well, being how far away was it? There was no. I mean, at what point?
Well, at the angle, at the bullet defects would have been here at 76 inches.
Right.
So you've got quite a difference there.
If I could get that dowel.
You want to swap places with me?
Yeah, I'm trying to find that 135-degree comment by her, but
to make that axis.
Yes.
At 3 foot, we're here.
Right.
At 2 foot, we're here. So I believe it would be more in line with 2 foot, but I'm not contradicting a pathologist.
Okay. I know it's in here. Give me 2 seconds. I thought I had it marked. Give me one more second here.
Well,
damn it. So, assume that you said and you relied on Dr. Reamer's 135 degree shot. Let's follow that down.
Now, Mr. Harpootlian, I reviewed her stuff, but I went and measured my own angle on that door. Now, I didn't rely on her angle.
Well, but she actually, you're going based on where those pellets were.
Yes, sir.
And she would be going on measurements on the shoulder.
Yes, sir.
And she's actually looking at the wound.
Yes, sir.
And she would have maybe a more accurate angle because she knows, she sees what the wound is.
She knows the angle to him.
Right.
But she can't. She can't relate that to the defect at the scene.
But do you think it's, I mean, 135 degrees is basically a 45 degree angle, correct?
Not quite, but yes, sir, close. Yes.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
So it's 45 degrees off of that dot.
I did my measurement from a little bit lower on the door frame. I took my protractor and placed it on the door frame, inside the door frame, like so.
So you don't think it's that tall? You think it's down?
Well, that's where his shoulder's at. But,
right.
But the angle of the gun, depending on the length of the barrel,
right,
it would have to be here, because it's not a contact wound. So it
right.
would have to be down a little bit, but the angle doesn't change, just the distance changes.
Right, right. So, but, standing between them. So, but if you come off of this 45 degrees, for the sake of argument.
Okay, for the sake of argument.
Okay. That would show you the angle of whatever hit his shoulder, correct?
As long as the angle stays the same, yes, sir.
Okay. Well, the angle's
I've got it on 135, by the way.
But 135 would be, wouldn't it be 45 degrees off of straight up and down? So don't you have to take it over this way?
Well, you've got 90 in the middle. It depends on where your axis is. You've got 90 in the middle. This is 180. All the way around is 360. So here we've got 135 off of the door.
Going that way. Can you make it go this way for me?
I don't quite understand you.
I want the line not going this way. I want to be able to draw it out this way.
You just flip it.
There you go.
And you go above it.
Okay, would you do me a favor? And let me get a ruler for you. Can I have that long ruler, please? And let's take it. Just I'll hold it. Like that. If you'll just get that. Okay. And so and again, it could be somewhat lower if he turns.
If you give, yes, sir.
But so
and that would change the angle. That's why I said approximately 135. It could change it a little bit.
How much?
A few degrees. It, you know, as well, if you figure if this is 135 and if he's 2 inches lower, that would, you know, take probably 5 degrees off.
So that would be 130?
Maybe. If you sit it up there, we'll measure it. I can tell you for sure.
So, okay. Tell me, what do you want me to do?
You hold the protractor up, Nick. There you go.
Except we got to go this way.
No. You had it. You had it. There you go.
But the line's going to go that way.
Which way do you want to go?
I want to
flip it. That, flip it. There you go.
There we go. See what? That's why you're the.
No, I got a feeling you're fooling with me, Mr. Harpootman.
You got that feeling?
I got that feeling.
Okay. So that's 135.
Yes, sir.
What do you want to make it?
Well, I'm not measuring it this way. I mean, you tell me what you want me to make it, because I measured it this angle.
Yeah, but this is just the flip side of that. Remember how you talked about the negative?
All right, put it back.
Okay. Which way you want it? This? That?
There you go.
That's 135. What do you want to make?
So you can
read. Oh wow! There you go.
All right. So if it was, let's say this end was down a little bit, that would make it what? Now you're on the bottom half now, so that changes it. Now we're at 40.
Yeah, it was 45.
Right.
Now it's 40.
Right.
See, I went to Clemson too.
Yeah.
And so. Sad. So if you make it 40 instead of 45 degrees, what is it?
Here.
Okay. So okay, you want to draw that in? And there's a red pen right on the
eye mask, not intentional.
Okay. So those are basically what you're saying is those are the two possible paths and there may be one in the middle.
It could be. Yes,
okay.
Sir.
Now, And you believe that the shooter was how far away from him with that shotgun?
I think 3 foot is a stretch without having some damage to the door frame.
Right.
Because them shot pellets, immediately when they leave the barrel of that gun, at 3 foot, that shot pellet's going to spread 1 inch. There's no damage to the outside of that door frame.
Why would there be?
Why would there be what?
If it's spread how far? 1 inch?
If Paul's shoulder is barely breaching that door frame, and right. That's what the blood evidence tells me.
Right.
If you are further back, them shot pellets are going to do what they're supposed to do. They're going to open up, and there's no shot damage to that door frame.
Okay.
So,
you recognize it?
Yes, sir, from photographs.
And it's a Benelli shotgun, is that right?
Yes, sir, it is.
Okay, so
I prefer to put on gloves. I have some.
Let me dangerous up here. Take that shotgun and, unlike these boys back here, I don't mind if you point it in my direction. Okay? So if you take that, the muzzle of that gun, and follow the line down, please.
Yes, sir.
And let me turn this just a little bit so this mirror back here can see. Okay. Follow this down.
Mm-hmm.
Either one of those down. So that would be the position the shooter had?
That's the angle. I'm on the opposite side, you know, of where the shot came from, but, and I don't know the length of the barrel, but that would be the angle.
If I'm standing, I'm Paul, and I'm standing in the door, why is that the opposite side? Bent down a little bit. I don't understand what you mean by the opposite side.
The shot came from over here. It didn't come
from...
Well,
this is a two-dimensional representation of a three-dimensional... but I'm trying to figure out just the angle of from the muzzle.
All right, if you're coming out of the door,
right.
and you got damage to your right shoulder.
Right,
there you go. Instead of your left shoulder.
Same.
All right, turn this way.
Okay.
And that is the door frame.
Right.
Was here.
Right. But in that distance there is how far from the barrel to
2.5 to 3 foot.
That's not true, just to be. So actually that is.
I'm going to your shoulder now.
Okay.
You got to turn.
Yeah. So that is about 24 inches.
Well, you step closer, but yes, sir, about 24 inches.
Again, we both went to Clemson. Okay. So this is getting complicated. So what you're saying is, whoever shot him was holding the shotgun that low?
Really low, yes, sir. Not from the shoulder. From some position other than the shoulder.
Why? Wouldn't it be easier just to go boom, right in the head?
Sir, I can't figure out why people do what they do.
The person with the shotgun has just shot him in the chest, mm-hmm. and he would have been turned to the left.
Mm-hmm.
And that would have gone through, under his armpit, out the window.
Right.
Okay. And then he shuffles over to the right of that position?
Towards the door. Yes, sir.
And then whoever has just shot him, you would agree with me, the first shot was inside the... the shooter would have been inside the feed room for shot number
one. At least to here. If this is the door frame,
right.
The ejection port of that shotgun was in at least this far.
And how far back was he in the room when he got shot?
Paul?
Yeah.
Just on the other side of the 5 foot mark.
Okay, so how far was it be from that 5 foot mark to the door frame?
5 foot.
How far would the barrel have been if that was just inside?
Well, it depends on the length of the shotgun.
Assume it's that's Benelli, whatever
well,
the name.
Right. If this represents 5 foot,
right.
and I've got the ejection port inside the door,
what, 2 foot? I mean, you don't want the wound to look, but 2 foot maybe?
It's consistency. Okay, so I'm going to move this this way so it's even with me. I said candy dish. Thank you. So, this is 5 feet, right?
I don't know what the letting is, but this is the door. It'd be easy to measure.
There we go. This is actually 6 feet.
So if it's,
no, that's 5 feet.
For demonstrative purposes, if it's this gun, right, and that breach is inside, so right, that's what? How far are you? I can't see
that. I'm at 5 feet.
Okay, and step just a little bit behind 5 foot, because
okay,
he's occupying that next foot.
Okay.
There you go. So
okay,
how far is that?
Five. This is 5 feet.
Okay.
This is a little bit bent back.
Yes,
5 feet.
Now, can't your body?
This way?
Yes, sir.
This way, okay. What do you mean? Turn my feet?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
A little bit more.
Okay.
Right leg.
Okay. Now, and you're shooting me in the chest.
Yes, sir.
And the distance between that barrel and my chest is... Well, that's...
Is that Clemson?
It's 30 inches. 30 inches. That this says to me 30 inches.
Yeah, with this shotgun.
Okay, right. And so I would get. I mean, just a minute ago we said at 36 inches. Or you said maybe it was closer. I mean, is this consistent with Stiplin?
Yes, sir. Within 5 feet. Yes, sir.
Okay, and when we had it before and he was shooting up at me, it was about the same distance, maybe six more inches between the barrel and me, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's no Stiplin.
Okay.
You're the expert. What does that mean?
Well, he also has, I don't know if I can answer that.
Could it be? Well, I mean, on that first shot, we know, you say that he was, you say he was the whatever you call it, the thing ejects, what's it called?
The ejection port.
There you go. Well, the ejection port had to be inside the room.
Yes, sir.
For,
well, the second shot, now all it had to be is pointed toward the room.
Why?
Because it's going to eject to the right. So if this is the door frame and I've got the ejection port pointed toward the room, it's going to eject into the room. The first shot, because it was straight on, had to be at least past the door frame.
Right. But the second shot, if the ejection port was
pointed toward the room.
Pointed towards the
room. I could be this far away from the door, the second shot, and the ejection port would still throw it that direction.
So doesn't that change the calculation here on how far away that gun was? Because the ejection port on this, is that it down there? Where is it? There it is right there. The ejection port is, and if you disagree with me, about ...28 inches from the barrel.
On that shotgun? Yes, sir.
Yeah. Well, assume this way. A possible shotgun, although it doesn't match up with the ejected marks on the shells found in the female. But there's some theory that this would be about the same shotgun. So, you would agree with me that the shooter would have been, how about show me again how low they would have been holding this?
Other side, but here.
Down.
Well, I mean, I don't know how long the arms are. There's a lot of variables there, but, you know, it could have been here. It could have been here. I mean, I can't tell you the mechanics of it. All I can look at is the angle.
And that angle, you would agree with me, is an unusual angle. Typically, people shoot a shotgun from their shoulder.
Typically, unless you and I are both occupying nearly the same space.
Wouldn't there be Stiplin or powder burns or some?
I can't explain that.
Well, okay, so you can explain it.
I'll take that answer.
Yes, sir. And but it would be inconsistent for them to be that close, wouldn't it?
Well, you figure if Paul made it to the door, whoever fired the first shot could have retreated or could have backed up, better word for it, could have backed up or even was taking cover to see what was going to happen. And then I believe the angle would fit or could fit that two persons could be that close to that door frame.
Hand me the weapon again, please. You might want to step that way. Well, you're blocking the jury.
Oh.
That's better. So we both agree that the first shot is square into his chest.
Well, I can't say square, but it's directly on. Yes, sir.
Okay, which is at shoulder height. Boom.
Well, it could have been shoulder height. It could have been like I was holding it just now. No. Before. I mean,
I'm sorry.
It could have been. It could have been here.
Okay.
Could have been here. I mean, I can't tell
but,
you the
but
mechanics.
He's holding, whoever's shooting him in the chest is holding it.
Parallel to the ground or
near parallel to the ground.
Yes, sir.
And we know it wasn't down here.
I don't believe so. No, sir. Not the path of the bullets going out the back window.
Okay.
The pellets, not bullets.
So either at his shoulder or just under his shoulder. Now, a shotgun has a pretty good kick to it, doesn't it? Buckshot?
Yes, sir. Pretty decent.
So I guess what I don't understand, and you have no explanation for it, is why the second shot would be like this. I mean, we agree the normal height person would have to crouch to make that shot. Correct?
I don't know where they wanted the end of that barrel placed, Mr. Harpoon. You know, I can't tell you that part with my science. I can't. All I can look at is the angle.
Which is about like this.
Well, it's here, but in reverse.
Which is about like this, correct? The barrel would have to be, okay, like that. But you would agree with me, I'm bent over to do that.
You are, yes, sir.
So the shooter was a very short person?
But here, I'm not bent over that far, and I'm almost 6 foot.
But I mean, I don't understand. You can go ahead and take the stand. I don't understand. What circumstance would cause a person to, I might want to move that one over, to do this or this, and then immediately do this or do this to put that second shot in?
Objection, ask and answer.
You said what you don't understand. The question is?
The question is
for the witness.
That your position is that the first shot was like this. The second shot would have been like, if I'm standing up straight like this, not a very good aim, or crouched down. If it's a normal sized person, right?
The first angle was almost parallel with the ground.
Right.
The second angle was somewhere around 135 degrees from the door frame. I can't tell you the psychology of any more or any less.
Okay, so what height was the entrance wound on that chest?
On the chest?
Yeah.
Approximately 4'3" or 4'4", I believe, according to the
4'3".
Yeah, 4'3", 4'4".
Because it's that would have been below the shoulder wound, right?
Yes, sir.
So it'd be. Let me see how that works for me. Maybe this will help us. Two. 3, 4, 4 foot. You think 4'3"?
I'm fairly certain. Yes, sir.
So you trust me that's 4'3"?
I believe, yeah.
Okay, and I'm about 5'10" mm-hmm. on a good day. So that would be about right for me, wouldn't it?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So that first shot, if it was on that person's shoulder, if they put it on their shoulder, they would have been approximately, was there any way to figure out?
I don't know a scientific way, Mr. Arpoutley, unless you had a tripod that you could hold the gun and shoot it many times, the actual gun, and measure it. I don't know a scientific. If it is one, it's way out of my purview. Okay. I look at the angle, and I look at the damage. And I develop my angles. That's what I do.
Okay.
done with the gun. You can have a seat.
Can I take the gloves off or we could do this again?
Objection asked to me.
I think we're done with the gun, but I gotta tell you, and I don't think I need this anymore, Mr. Barber. I'm sorry. Were you able to find what I wanted? But where is it?
Doesn't exist.
Okay, so let me
go a couple other places
with you. You were hired on, were you hired on December 22nd?
I think it was in November when I first got to review the evidence, and I think I was hired in October. I can't tell you the actual date on my retainer, but it was several weeks after that before I ever got access to evidence.
Okay, so you read a crime scene reconstruction done by a guy named Bevel from Oklahoma, did you not?
I did refer to, I did read that, yes, sir, but I mean, I did not depend on that to make my determinations.
No, no, I'm just saying,
okay, yes, sir.
For purposes
I did
of,
review that, yes, sir.
Okay, and do you remember when he generated his report?
I don't, Mr. Harpootlian.
Would it surprise you if he generated it in 2022, early? Several months before you even asked, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And you were their second choice?
I don't know if I was their second choice. I was a choice.
Okay. Let me make sure I understand the date of Mr. Bevel's report. So he issued a report in March of 2022, and you were not asked to get involved until October of 2022.
I had a phone call shortly after. I don't even remember who I talked with, but someone called me shortly after the homicides and asked me if I would mind taking a look at stuff, and I said I'm always available to help if I can.
Okay. Now, the other things that you looked at, let me just make sure we understand what you looked at. You had a David Green recording of June 7th, 2021. You remember looking at that?
Body camera, yes, sir.
Right. And in that body camera interview, when they talk to Mr. Murdaugh, he indicates the phone had fallen out of Paul's pocket when he tried to check his pulse, and he put it on. It didn't explode out of anywhere. He put it on that picture that you introduced just a moment ago. He put it on his rear end. Correct?
It may have said that in the body
okay.
cam.
So there was no exploding out of any pocket, right?
I don't believe it did, and that's what I said. Someone other than Paul put it there.
Okay. Now, you had a SWED crime scene investigator summary. Was that by Agent Worley?
I read several SLED reports, but Agent Worley's report was one of them. Yes, sir.
Okay, and you digested everything in that report that was relevant to your inquiry?
I read those reports just so I have the knowledge of it, but what I can work out on my own, even if it contradicts their results, I like to make my own conclusion.
For instance, she had very distinct measurements on shell casing location, right?
Yes, sir, I believe they
and
did.
And you relied on that, certainly, in looking at shell casing placement.
When you say shell casing, are you talking about?
I'm talking about where the Blackout 300 shell casings were.
I looked at the path. I did not look at the measurement per se because, like I said, the shooter moving, the victim moving, not having the rifle and be able to say exactly where it throws that shell casing, I don't get too involved with that. I'll look at the general path where they're at, but as far as so many feet, so many inches, I don't pay a lot of attention to that.
And I'm not asking you that, but it would show you the path of the shooter, would it not?
Well, like I said earlier in my testimony, it could or it may not. You can't look and say a shooter started here and ended here because he might have went from here to here and back to here.
So let me rephrase that. Not necessarily the path, but at least you would know generally where the shooter was during, if you look at the coagulation of all those shots. For instance, what we see, if you remember correctly, is a number of these shell casings. There's one sort of back on the gravel road, and then all of the rest of them are located in a fairly small area on the grass, and then there's one under her, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And that would show you, at least generally, I mean, the one under her had to have been a shot that was fired while she was upright and fell on it, correct?
I would agree with that assessment.
Okay. But it'd give you some general idea where the shooter was. General idea.
Somewhere within 5 foot, 5 or 6 foot, knowing what I know about those rifles, it's not going to throw it 20 foot or 30 foot. It's going to be confined to that area, and all I can do is probably put a general perimeter within, you know, a couple yards at the most from Miss Maggie Murdoch.
Did you look at the autopsy report?
I did, yes, sir.
And the autopsy report, Dr. Reamer indicated the angle of the shot, we've talked this to death, was 135 degrees.
I really wasn't aware of that, but I look at the photos more than the report part.
Okay, hold on 1 second here. Let me see if I have it. Let me ask them to find something. Let me ask you what else you looked at, and you list a bunch of things here. You looked at lab photos of victim's clothing, trace reports, DNA, CS, what's CS photos, evidence processing? What's CS mean?
Crime scene. Yes,
okay.
Sir.
So you looked at the crime scene photos. There are 449 of those, or at least the ones that were relevant to your look, what you were looking at, right?
Yes, sir.
A number of interviews with people, right?
I had access to it. I may have looked at some of them. Yes, sir.
Okay. Now, let me ask you this. Does the wound on Paul's shoulder indicate to you how far the shooter was? I mean, what was the spread at that point?
Your typical full choke on a shotgun, and it depends, once again, it depends on the choke.
Right.
At 3 foot, it's going to spread 1 inch.
Okay. Well,
with an improved choke, at 3 foot, it's going to spread 1.75 inches. So I don't know the...
Well, you looked at the autopsy photos, right?
I did, yes, sir.
Was the wound on his shoulder bigger than 1 or 1.75?
It's a massive wound. I mean, it's massive, but a lot of that can be taken into the angle, too, Mr. Harpootlian.
Did you look at the x-rays?
I did, yes, sir.
And there's a whole bunch of pellets in his shoulder.
Along the path, yes,
along
sir.
Along the path.
Mm-hmm.
But wouldn't it indicate that the spread of those pellets is significantly more than 1 inch or 2 inches? Like, I think we determined it was about a 6-inch spread.
Well, I don't think with the angle it would be possible for someone to be 12 yards away and shooting up that direction. So obviously that's got something to do with the close proximity and the way those number twos work.
So do you have an explanation for why the spread would have been that big based on what we just did? I don't want to pull the shotgun out.
I'm not a firearms examiner, Mr. Harpootlian. I'm just familiar with how they work.
And so your position is that spread is not inconsistent with what you've testified?
I do not believe so. I have had people shoot themselves in front of me, and I have worked a number of crime scenes where I've seen the same damage.
Okay. So okay, here we go. I knew I'd seen it somewhere. This is your report.
Thank you.
Okay. Let me ask you, did you say Paul's height of 5'8 and the sharp angle upwards, approximately 135 degrees, I know I find it, support that Paul's left side was dipping slightly, head slightly forward as he was standing or exiting the feed room at the time of the second shot?
I think that's what I testified to, yes, sir, and that's still my findings.
Okay, I just want to make sure this 135 degree thing I didn't imagine. That's what you said, right?
Well, that's what I was saying. I was hoping you didn't say I copied someone else, but yes, sir, that's my measurements.
Okay, so you also said the length of the shotgun would be needed to a reasonable degree of certainty, but it's unlikely the shooter was standing with a shouldered weapon at the time of the second discharge. We've already established that, correct?
Yes, sir.
They would have been crouched or holding it down in some awkward position,
yes, sir,
rather than having it up to their shoulder. Let me see if I can finish this. You do in your opinion, IQ7, it is my opinion that the exact position of the shooter cannot be determined in relation to Margaret, correct?
Yes, sir.
Do you have the most accurate information available to narrow down the position of the shooter's position is the physical location, position of the deceased, bullet path of known wounds, stippling, or lack of physical damage caused by those wounds. So you came across no data that would allow you to determine trajectory with any degree of certainty as to Maggie?
No. Because the victim and the shooter could possibly have been moving. So it's no way, to my knowledge, scientifically, to prove either one.
Okay, I guess that wasn't my question. My question was, you saw no data in the material you looked at that would allow you to do that?
Other than the pathologist measuring the angle of her stomach wound and her thigh wound, and right, they were very similar angle, that's about all I can tell you, Mr. Harpootlian.
Okay. Let me deal with a couple of issues. Let's go to the what you testified to about the impression on her leg, right?
Yes, sir.
Now, this again, was there a photo taken of either her leg or the tire that you're talking about that would have been what you would expect if you're trying to make a comparison, that is a 90-degree shot of either one?
And no, sir, and that's why I explained that I can't call this to the exclusion of all others. If I was going to make an absolute identification, I would require a scale photograph.
Right, and there's no scale in either one of those?
No, sir. But I got it close, but still not close enough for me to call. I used the scale at autopsy that the pathologist used on the back of Miss Margaret Murdoch's leg, and I went and did research on the tire, and I actually know the type of tire, and the only problem is it comes in a 9, a 10, and an 11-inch front tire, so I have no way to scale that without the actual tire.
So you're not telling this jury that it's your opinion that tire caused that impression on the back of her leg?
What I'm telling the jury is that is a class. They share the same class. It's called an association. And in my opinion, either that tire or a tire just like it caused that impression.
Well, let me ask you this. By the time it got to the autopsy, her leg, whatever mud was on there was washed off, right? There was no, in those autopsy photos, all you see is a bruise, correct?
That is correct.
Okay, and so the only evidence you have is that there was some mud stuck on the back of her leg with those specific details, right?
It's an impression in mud, yes, sir.
Okay, when you looked at the tire pictures, was there any mud on them?
There are, specifically those treads, and like I pointed out earlier, you can actually see unique random characteristics. In a perfect world, if I would have had a scale myself, I would have called that all day, and my technically reviewer would have called it all day also, but I'm not allowed to do that.
You're not allowed to do that because you may be close, but you can't say with affinity that tread caused that defect on the
What I can say is that, in my opinion, that impression was created by that tire or a tire with similar characteristics.
Did you look at any black and white images of that what you call a tire impression or the mark on the back of her leg?
I did. I made it black and white. Yes, sir.
Okay. So, okay. We can go round and round about how sure you are, but I'm not going to do that. Let me ask you sort of not closing, I have a couple more shots, but a couple more questions. We'll strike that. Let me check one thing with my folks over here, and I'm probably done.
Can I stand for a moment, please? Your Honor, thank you.
Somebody stand. I'm aware.
Yes, sir. Just real quick. Couple things real quick. You were contacted by Sledge to do a review of this case, is that correct?
Yes, sir, it was.
And were you told any particular conclusions to come to, or did you do a fresh review and then arrive at your own conclusions of your own independent judgment?
Every conclusion I came to was in spite of any pre-existing conclusions. I made my own conclusions.
You're asked a little bit about the tire mark impression, and were you relying on the crime scene photographs of Maggie Murdoch at the scene?
Yes, sir.
And did you see mud, which is the impression that you examined?
It is. Yes, sir.
And from your review of the crime scene, was there any other ATV in the vicinity of where Maggie Murdoch was found except that tire you looked at, the picture of it?
That's the only one I observed.
And you said it either had to be that tire or a tire with similar characteristics?
Yes, sir. That's my opinion.
On the ATV that was at the scene?
Yes, sir.
You were asked a lot about shell casings, and you pointed out that they can be thrown different feet and can move around, and shooters can move as well. Is that correct?
That is correct.
The shell casings, though, that were located, were they located in this area around the feed room as to where Maggie Murdoch was found?
They were.
And you said them shell casings ain't gonna get thrown 30 feet, right?
No, sir, not in my experience.
In your experience, having done 850 homicide scenes, can shooting events be fluid situations?
That's death scenes, but the answer is yes, sir.
The victims can move?
Yes, sir.
The shooter can move?
Absolutely.
People can change their aspect of how they're positioned at any given time?
Because of the moment.
Well, if I can get to it on that easel, y'all went through the whole thing and drawing and all the rest of it. But what y'all were drawing, that was actually reversed from how everything happened. Is that correct?
It was.
And if this were the door to the feed room going out to the outside and I was standing in it, which direction was the trajectory of the shot to Paul's head?
Where I'm at, up at 135 degree angle.
And what did you observe up here?
I observed body fluid, a concentration of body fluid as a result of a gunshot wound.
Defects in the door as well?
Absolutely.
And what's a defect? What is that?
A defect is damage caused by a projectile, whether it be a pellet or a bullet.
That easel drawing y'all did, that was reversed from the reality of the situation, correct?
Yes, sir.
All right. And that easel also was slanted as well, was it not?
It was.
And if it were actually standing straight up, that dot y'all were marking would actually be higher than it was when it was demonstrated to the jury. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. And that's why you use approximate, because I can't tell you how Paul was positioned. I can only go by the angle.
All that stuff that you and Mr. Harpootling did with the easel and the shotgun and all the rest of that, does any of that change your opinion
about what happened to Paul on the night of June 7th, 2021, when he was fatally shot in the head?
It does not.
Thank you, Your Honor. Nothing further.
Just one additional question.
Mr. Barber, please.
We agree that what I did there a moment ago with the easel was a mirror image or a negative of what actually occurred, right?
It was the opposite side of the door, yes, sir.
Go get in the door, please. Mr. Barber, in the interest of justice, has allowed me to point the shotgun at him, Your Honor. It is. So we agree that if he's standing in the doorway, the shooter would have had the shotgun. And how about turn a little bit to your, turn that way?
A little bit more.
A little bit more?
Yes, sir.
Okay, the shotgun would have been about like this.
About here.
About like this.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So that's the trajectory. That's where the barrel of the shotgun would have had to have been.
In my opinion, yes, sir.
Okay, thank you. No further questions.
You may step down.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to break for lunch at this time. Members of the jury, I'm appointing juror number 826 to be the foreperson of the jury. The foreperson has the responsibility of serving as the spokesperson for the jury from this point forward. We'll have the responsibility of presiding over the jury deliberations, and we'll have the responsibility of completing the verdict form representing the unanimous verdict of the jury when we reach that point, and also sit in the first seat, which is the seat designated for the foreperson. Understand? All right. Very good. We'll see you all at 2:15. Be in recess till 2:15.
All right.
That wraps up segment number 3 of our continuing coverage of the trial of Alec Murdaugh. There is much more to come. Be sure to press subscribe so you don't miss any of it. Tony Bruschi, stay with us.